Take your copy of God's Word and turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 16. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Someone made the observation that faith is a declaration of dependence in opposition to sin, which is man's declaration of independence. The question that you and I must answer is, what kind of faith do you and I demonstrate on a daily basis to those who are watching our daily walk with the Lord? Jesus gives us a clue in this beautiful little story today about what kind of faith that we are to demonstrate on a daily basis. Out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, I'd ask you to please stand if you are able. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. The Bible tells us they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength. You are our Redeemer. Teach us truths from this simple but beautiful story that we need to apply to our lives every day. And God, I pray you speak to hearts this morning. Draw precious souls to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This beautiful story and moving story about Jesus' love for children has really been a favorite down through the centuries for many folks. What an amazing scene when you look at it. There's the available Christ. There's the anticipating mothers, the very innocent and excited children. But on the other hand, there's also the rebuking disciples standing in the way of children, trying to stand in the way of children coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. What remarkable skill these disciples had in missing the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. No wonder that he said a short time before this, "How long am I to bear with you?" You see, it was customary for parents to bring their children to the rabbis for a blessing. And so it was reasonable that they would bring their little ones to Jesus when he was around. But why would the disciples rebuke the people and try to keep the children away from Jesus? Well, they probably thought that they were doing him a favor by helping him protect his time and to conserve his strength. In other words, they simply did not consider children to be very important. Their attitude was strange because Jesus had already taught them to receive the children in his name and to be careful not to cause any of them to stumble. Once again, they forgot what he had taught them. But before we judge these disciples too harshly, we'd best look at our own attitude toward children and young people. We can so easily see them as unruly and a bother rather than as an opportunity for us to teach them the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most beautiful sounds a church can ever have is the sound of laughing and playing children and young people in the house of God. They're so very important to the Lord, and so they need to be important to you and me as well. By the way, if we don't encourage children and young people to come, where will this church be in the next 10 years? Won't be a church, folks. Look at us. I'm one of those senior adults. We're not going to be around that many more years, but we have an obligation to share the heritage of the gospel but those coming along behind us and train them for leadership roles in God's church. In this passage, Jesus didn't pull any punches. It was one of the few times he became violently angry, filled with moved with indignation, the Bible tells us. See, Jesus is a great defender of children, and that love is expressed so simply but powerfully in that favorite children's hymn that we sing. We think it's just for children. It's for all of us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Why? The Bible tells me so. That's a special song. There are some tremendous lessons we can learn from this beautiful passage. First of all, we need to learn about the lesson of the attraction of Jesus. We sometimes forget how attractive Jesus is to children and should be to you and me. But what makes Jesus so attractive to children? Have we not read in Isaiah chapter 53, that great suffering servant passage that where the Bible says he has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, no appearance that we should be attracted to him? He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. So why in the world would children be so attracted to Jesus? Consider their reasons very quickly. They saw his gentleness, his love, his healing touch, his compassion, even for those and care for those who were considered outcasts. These were qualities that a child was attracted to. They were welcome even when they were so little they had to be brought to him by their parents. They may have been too little to understand, but Jesus was big enough to bless them and see to it that the blessing remained all through eternity. To feel secure, all children need is a loving look and a gentle touch from someone who really cares. It was not his physical appearance that attracted them. It was his heart. Have you ever considered what Jesus is to you and me? Considered his heart to you and me? Someone wrote over 400 years ago that Christ is full and sufficient for all his people. And then just let me put it in my own words. Jesus Christ is bread and wine and milk and living waters to feed us. He is a garment of righteousness to cover and adore us. He is a physician to heal us, a counselor to advise us, a captain to defend us, a prince to rule us, a prophet to teach us, a priest to make atonement for us, a husband to protect us, a father to provide for us, a brother to relieve us, a foundation to support us, a root to quicken us, a head to guide us, a treasure to enrich us, a sun to enlighten us, a fountain to cleanse us. But most of all, he was love incarnate to love us unconditionally. And that's not only for children, that's for you and me. And children saw this, they saw his heart. That's what they saw in Jesus, his heart of love for you and me. And we wonder sometimes, children really understand, folks, I'm afraid they understand more sometimes than we do because of our simple faith and trust in him. And we sometimes get bent out of shape about their age. Well, let's just consider their age for a moment. There's always concern about the age a child can respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the great Baptist preachers of all time, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said this, and I quote, "A child of five, if properly instructed, can as truly believe and be regenerated as an adult." Matthew Henry, one of the great theologians and pastors of all time, said was converted at the age of 11. Isaac Watts, the great hymn writer, was converted at the age of 9. Spurgeon himself began to awaken spiritually at the age of 12. Dr. Vance Havner, that old classic mountain preacher from North Carolina, began preaching at the age of 13. I accepted Christ at the age of 9. By the way, most missionaries and most preachers are converted by the age of 9. Most of them, not all of them, but a great deal of them are. Accept Christ at an early age. But what is the key? The key is the training at home. Did you notice that the mothers were bringing their children to Jesus? What a lesson for us. They went to great lengths to overcome cultural barriers. They demonstrated by their actions the importance of a personal relationship with Jesus that they wanted their children to have. What about us? How important do we see the children of this church and this community to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We should spare no means and no method in order to reach children with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Sunday school and these special programs we have on Wednesday night and Sunday night and Vacation Bible School and other events are so vitally important. You realize that most children are won to faith in Christ during Vacation Bible School in most of our Southern Baptist churches. That's why it's so important. And we put a lot of emphasis and support in our children's ministry. We get bent out of shape about age, but once a child understands sin and the consequences of sin and that they are accountable, they need to make a decision for Christ right then. Folks, we had best be careful and heed our Lord's words in chapter 9, verse 42, where he said, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, be better for him if he with a heavy millstone hung around his neck had been cast into the sea. We dare not become a stumbling block in the way of children. And using an arbitrary figure, they've got to be a certain age before they can accept Christ. We need to be careful. We certainly want to be sure that they understand, but we don't want to put a stumbling block in front of them either. We also need to consider the trust of a child. We can learn a lot from children. As adults, we're not as trusting as children are. We try to figure things out intellectually. This is not a requirement for a child. They believe us if they trust us. We stop and think about it. They believe us if they trust us. Gloria Gaither said some years ago, and I quote, children possess an uncanny ability to cut to the core of the issue, to expose life to the bone, and strip away the barnacles that cling to the hull of our too sophisticated pseudo-civilization. One reason for this, she says, I believe, is that children have not mastered our fine art of deception that we call finesse. Another is that another is that they are so lately come from God that faith and trust are second nature to them. Talking about them being born into this world as a gift from God, and children are. Folks, they're a gift from God. They come from Him. They have not acquired the obstructions to faith that come with education. They possess instead unrefined wisdom, a gift from God. The wisdom of accepting Christ for who He is and trusting Him because of His love. So Jesus said that people should believe in Him with childlike faith. We shouldn't have to understand all the mysteries of the universe. We simply need to know that God loves us and provides forgiveness for our sin. I'm not talking about being childish or immature, but I'm saying that we should trust God with a child's simplicity and receptivity. Would to God that we could be attracted to Jesus with the same kind of faith and trust as a child. We simply need to grasp a simple but powerful life-changing truth that God loves us. We hear John 3:16 so often we take it for granted and it's almost become commonplace, but that's the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Children were attracted to the Lord Jesus because of His heart of unconditional love. They understand God loves us. Sometimes we get all too sophisticated with the Word of God and the gospel. End up shutting ourselves out from the blessings of God. Billy Graham had it right. He never preached a message, but what he didn't remind people, God loves you. And he is so right. That is so true. God loves you. And that's what attracted these children to the Lord Jesus. But we notice something else we can learn from this passage. We see not only the attractiveness of Jesus, His heart of love, we see the anger of Jesus. You see, He wasn't just mildly perturbed. He was angry. What was the reason for His anger? He angrily rebuked those who stopped and disregarded the children. The word forbid suggests an active, conscious, deliberate obstruction the disciples were putting in the children's way. And he said such action was wrong. We're not to stop little children from coming to God. We ought to bring them to Him. That's our responsibility as loving adults. Who would forbid children from coming to Jesus? Not us. We say, really? We better be careful before we make that assessment. The word forbid could be translated hinder. This term is not so easy to throw off. You see, we hinder and make Christ unattractive many times by the example we set. We make Him unattractive by making it evident by our lack of faithful attendance to God's house at the time of worship and taking it as kind of matter of fact. Go if we want to and don't have anything else to do. We make Him unattractive when Bible study is not conducted in the home. We make Him unattractive by an inconsistent daily walk. We make Him unattractive when we do not consider Him tremendously important compared to other interests out there in the world. When we put everything else first ahead of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We hinder the impact of the gospel when we fail to take seriously the teaching of God's word that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these other things that we think are so important will be added to us. We need to put God first. What was the result of Jesus' anger? We look at verse 42 of Mark chapter 9 again. He talks about to fall into sin. He talks about whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble. I'm afraid that there are many parents who are going to have to answer to God for keeping their children away from Jesus. There's many a child on the road to hell because of irresponsible parents. We're living in a culture today that we're seeing that more than ever before. If there had been some responsible parenting, Parkland and other areas would not have ever taken place. And we're seeing it all around us, tragically, in our culture today. Some parents foolishly say, we're not going to influence our children in making choices and decisions in matters of religion. Why not? The television will, radio will, movies will, the press will, literature will, and many educational institutions will, our neighbors will, their peers will. I find it absolutely amazing that we will go to great lengths to use our influence over our flowers, our lawns, our crops, our animals, especially dogs and cats, to see that they have the best, and then we ignore the spiritual needs of our children with this lame excuse. I'm not going to make that decision for them. I let them make that choice on their own. Folks, we need to set the example for them, and we need to share the gospel with them. We need to share the love of Jesus with them, that they can make an intelligent decision for Jesus Christ. Just imagine what would stir our Lord's anger if He walked through this community today. By the way, He walks through it every day. And it must grieve His heart at what He sees going on all around us. There are vicious forces that are preying on our children and youth today. Drugs and alcohol and promiscuity, all diminishing the importance of God in a child and young person's life. Our own hearts must be right with God if we're going to influence our children the right way. By the way, we need to understand something. Dorothy Nolte was absolutely right. Children learn what they observe. They don't learn just from books. They learn by what they observe and see in you and me. Listen to what she said. If children live with criticism, they learn to condemn and be judgmental. If children live with hostility, they learn to be angry and fight. If children live with ridicule, they learn to be shy and withdrawn. If children live with shame, they learn to feel guilty. If children live with tolerance, they learn to be patient. If children live with encouragement, they learn confidence. If children live with praise, they learn to appreciate. If children live with fairness, they learn justice. If children live with security, they learn to have faith. If children live with approval, they learn to like themselves. If children live with acceptance and friendship, they learn to find love in the world. Boy, she said a lot in those statements that we could apply on a daily basis. Talk to some of our teachers teaching in school and learn what they see in some of our children, how they are missing out on encouragement and love from home. The final judgment on our society, I believe, is going to be made by children. For the Christian test of any society, and yes, a church and a home, is what it does to children. It needs to be in every home, like it was in this particular home. A little boy was asked why he loved God. He responded, "I don't know. I guess it just runs in the family." What a wonderful statement. That ought to be true in every home. It just runs in the family. Every child ought to be able to say that about his family. Would Jesus be angry with our response to children? But we also need to learn the lesson of an application that Jesus would have us to make. Look at verse 15. "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." What an application that we need to make. What is it? Jesus was saying that children possess the spirit of kingdom citizens. He said that children were better kingdom examples than were the adults. We tell children to behave like adults, but Jesus tells the adults to model themselves after children. Did you catch that? Kind of eye-opening, isn't it? In what ways are children an example? In their humble dependence on others, in their receptivity, in their acceptance of themselves and their position in life. They live by faith. By faith, they accept their lot, trusting others to care for them and see them through. But all too often, that is not the case anymore in too many homes. And I think there's going to be a terrific judgment on those homes that don't provide the care and nurture that a child should expect and receive in the homes. We enter God's kingdom by faith, like little children. We enter helpless, do we not? Unable to save ourselves, totally dependent on the mercy and grace of Almighty God. For by grace are we saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast. We come helpless before Him. That's the way a child comes to the Lord. And that's the way every one of us must come. Except His grace and mercy. We enjoy God's kingdom by faith, believing that the Father loves us and will care for our daily needs. What does a child do when he or she has a hurt or a problem? What do? They take it to the father or mother. What an example for us to follow in our relationship with the Heavenly Father. When we have a hurt or a disappointment or a problem, where are we to go to? Go to Almighty God. Why? Because He understands and He loves us and He cares for us and wants to help us. Children also possess the qualities of kingdom citizens, do they not? Little children show what a person must be like to enter the kingdom of God. The nature, the character, and traits that are essential to get into heaven are seen in little children. You see, a little child is dependent and trusting. Think about that. They're dependent and trusting. They're totally dependent. They know little and can do little in caring, taking care of themselves. They are to depend upon their adult caregivers, their parents and grandparents. We adults tend to try to know everything and do everything. But the child is also trusting. They trust everyone. They have not learned to suspect the world. Everyone is a friend. No one is an enemy, and few are strangers. That's just the way it is with a child's nature when they're small. And very quickly now, they're learning differently as they get some age on them, even before the teenage years, because of the environment that we as adults have created for them. But a little child is dependent and trusting. Secondly, a little child is responsive and submissive. A child responds to an adult. You know, what do we do around church? I can ask some of these children, hey, would you go do and so and so? What do? They brighten up and smile and they go do it right then. They just run to do it. Thrilled that an adult would ask them to do something. They want to be involved. They're responsive. They're submissive. A little child is obedient and learning. Well, most of them are. You say, well, am I not too obedient and learning? But they want to be. And sometimes that's where we come in. We have to guide them with a firm but loving hand. He will do what he is asked to do and learn by it. He is ever learning what he sees and what he is told, whether it's good or bad. And fourthly, a little child is humble and forgiving. Not interested in prominence or fame or power or wealth or position. Does not push himself or herself forward. He forgives and forgets. Listen, keep in mind that Christ is talking about a child in a normal, healthy environment. You ever watch children on the playground? What do? They get upset with one another? Yeah, they do. Get to arguing sometimes. Want to pass some blows. And go by 10 minutes later, what do you see? Same two kids playing together. They quickly forgive and forget and go on. Boy, couldn't we learn from that? Amen? Boy, we could learn from that. You see, keep in mind that Christ is talking about a child in a normal, healthy environment. Children respond to Jesus. They have nothing to give but themselves, and they are ready to give themselves. Boy, couldn't we learn from that? We try to bring things to the Lord and try to put God in our debt. No, we are in His debt. We just need to come as we are, just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood be shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Come as we are to the Lord Jesus, readily accepting Him, responding to His call upon our lives. Our little hearts are tender and responsive to authority. They look to others to provide, to teach, to protect, and care for them. They are ready to respond. All they need is for someone to present the warmth and tenderness and love of the Lord Jesus. We must enter the kingdom as a little child, Jesus said. Think about that, folks. We must enter the kingdom as a little child. Teacher asked her class one day what each one wanted to become when they grew up. One said, I want to be the president of the United States. Another said, I want to be a fireman. Another said, I want to teach, and on, one by one, they answered until they came to little Billy. And the teacher asked, Billy, what do you want to be when you grow up? And Billy responded, possible. The teacher said, possible, Billy? Yes, Billy said, my mom is always telling me I'm impossible. So when I grow up, I want to become possible. Listen, there's a song we sing, that I'm a possibility. Every one of us is a possibility. God wants us to become possible too. And you can become possible by simply coming to Jesus in simple, childlike faith. Why? Because God loves you. He wants what's best for you. And He wants you to become all that you can become in responding to His love and following Him and serving Him. And through His love, through His mercy and grace and forgiveness, we can become more possible than we ever dreamed possible by simply responding to His love. Have you responded to this wonderful love of the Lord Jesus? He says, come as a child. Come as a child. Dependent and trusting, responsive and submissive, obedient and learning, humble and forgiving, responding to His love, knowing God loves you and wants what's best for you. As we sing our hymn of decision, 414, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Would you come to Him today? Would you come in childlike faith if you have not done so already? Would you come as we sing? 414.
Softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Mercy tenderly Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come.